Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we have anus horribilis. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason. Razor Babes, Frizz Babe, how are you doing, Mr. Frizz Babe?
Doing so good. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I know. I missed you so much this last week.
I missed you so much, too.
We decided to do the every other week thing. And, man, last week, Wednesday at 6:30, I just didn't know what to do with myself. I just sat here lonely.
Yeah, you tweeted me. That's what happened.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
that? You yeah. sent me a tweet. You may have been drunk and trying to forget things, but I got your tweet. And we discussed everything that we would do. We basically did a show through Twitter messages. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, we just tweeted back and forth about the news for like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's as if there was like a radio program that just communicated through Telegram back in the day. Like, stop. Did you hear this in the news? Stop. Howard Taft is fat. Stop.
I think that's how we used to do the show back when we did it in like the 40s or whenever, like on that one episode.
Those were good times.
Those were some of the best episodes.
But forget about the past. Tell me about last week.
I will tell you about last week. I wanted to tell you about anus horribilis real quick, though.
I was trying to gloss over that, but go ahead.
Well, it's this thing I discovered. I was looking up the Queen of England because I wanted to know how she's related to her husband. And the gross answer is that she's related to him in that they're third cousins and they're also second cousins a different way. It's fucking disgusting. So, but when I was reading about that, I found out about this thing called anus horribilis, which in Latin means the bad year. But I guess when, Prince Charles got divorced, the queen had to, make some announcement that it was anus horribilis, meaning a bad year, which I'm not exactly sure what that means in England, that you can just, you know, say that that's why somebody got divorced. But either way, anus horribilis is the coolest fucking phrase in any language, I feel.
Has that been taken as a band name yet?
I bet it probably has. Either that or it's just like an anal cunt song, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it should be. If we got anybody out there who is looking to start a band, name that band anus horribilis.
Yeah, and when you spell it out, give it very daggery-looking, sloppy letters that fall apart and you can't really read it.
Yeah.
Something that you'd find on like a 7th grade spiral notebook cover.
Yeah, all those I's and L's at the end of horribilis could probably make for a pretty sweet death metal logo.
Oh, yeah. And, the queen said this with a straight face, I'm assuming, because she never went to public school.
Yeah. She she didn't get the funny connotations of saying anus horribilis out loud.
She's missing out. Mm. She missed out.
The worst year. But anyway, so yeah, this week I had a doozy of a time.
Tell me all about it.
I will. I went, well, first, on Thursday, I went to go see my favorite band in the world, Roger Klein and the Peacemakers.
You left the house to see something.
Yeah, which
was a fantastic start.
That hasn't happened in a long time. I was very happy, and that was a lot of fun. They're my favorite band, and they played my favorite song, and the original guy in the original band played that song with them, which is pretty cool. And then I saw Evil Dead the next day, which we talked about for a long time on Evil Dead, so I won't regale you with stories, but I think we feel the same way about it.
Yeah, we're pretty okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I saw it twice, actually. The first time I hated it, and the second time I went in knowing I would hate it. And, you know, so now I'm just like, whatever. Like, I just got no strong feelings either way. Even though I think it's dumb. Super dumb.
Yeah? Do you think the story is dumb, or do you think the one of the actors is dumb? Because I thought one of the actors was super dumb.
Yeah.
I think you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, if you want to call that guy an actor, he's mostly like an underwear model.
Right? He looked like a guy who wandered on stage.
He was just the
on
worst.
Stage, on camera. Fuck, I don't know why I'm thinking that this was at, like, some sort of Victoria Theater or something.
Yeah. But, you know, and it was, like, hard to take this movie seriously after loving Cabin in the Woods, as I said on Junk Food Dinner. But, man, like, I don't know. I would think that you would have to change your movie. If you're making Evil Dead remake and Cabin in the Woods comes out, like, you've got to change your shit a little bit, I think.
Yeah, because everybody's thinking of that cabin.
Yeah,
that and sweet, sweet cabin.
And, like, they even went so far as to, like, add new stuff to Evil Dead. Like, they added this thing, like, oh, the Necronomicon says that once five souls have been taken, then the dead ones can walk the earth. Like, they even added it to make it more similar to Cabin in the Woods. But anywho, if you want to hear some thoughts on Junk Food Dinner, check or on Evil Dead, check out Junk Food Dinner. But the main meat of this week was when I went to Los Angeles, California, for the second time in my life. And I went to the Days of the Dead event, a big horror convention, the biggest horror convention on the West Coast, they say. And it was pretty exciting. I met Sean Byron, the new Junk Food Dinner guy. You know Sean Byron. You've talked to him one time.
I've spoken to that gentleman. He's a good guy.
He is good. I met him and his charming wife, and they're very nice people.
But they're very handsome in person, very good looking.
You got that right.
Their pictures are very good looking, so I'm assuming that they're just, like, radiant when you see them live.
They are. They're pretty good. I would give them about a 9.3 on the attractive scale.
Out of 9.5?
Well, that's out of 10.
That's really something.
Out of 10.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. We're getting ahead of ourselves here. Before I go any further about Days of the Dead, I wanted to mention that Muhammad, because we skipped a week last week, you know, as we'll be doing for a little bit, Muhammad, he got mixed up. He showed up last week instead of this week. So Muhammad's not here, but instead, he did hook us up with a Japanese guy, Hiro Matsuda. So he's here.
Is it okay for me to be here?
Yeah, Hiro Matsuda, it's all right. You can fill in for Muhammad and do, you know, some of the cool things. I would like you to meet Mr. Frisbee. Say hello to him.
Hey.
Hello, Hiro Matsuda. Is that what you prefer to be called, or should I call you Hiro?
I feel awkward and uneasy.
This is off to an amazing start.
Yeah.
I don't know why I would ever find myself saying this, but I really miss Chris Hansen, like, every day. So, Hiro Matsuda.
I want to die.
Yeah, I would want to die in your shoes too, bud. Yeah. You are already freaking me out. What is going on with you? Like, what were your expectations coming here?
Please care about me!
Okay. How can I do that? Like, is there anything I can do to help you me feel more comfortable? I may have been a little bit too aggressive at not liking you. That might have been true.
And I want to help you.
Well, great. I want to help you too. You're changing the inflection of my voice.
But this isn't right.
No? I'm horribly confused.
All right, well, this guy, he's clearly mentally unstable. So just chill out, Hiro Matsuda. And, you know, just kind of do producing and stuff like this through the duration of the show.
The entire time?
Yep, the entire time.
Please, take it easy, bud. You're scaring me.
All I do is hurt and kill people.
Oh, my God.
Well, this guy. It's like
this guy.
This guy. All right. So I was at the Days of the Dead, right? Me and my wife get there and, we're like pretty excited. She wants to meet Tracy Lords a great deal. I want to meet, Mary Warnoff and, you know, Roddy Piper, you know?
Yeah.
I want to make him wear some sunglasses desperately.
Naturally.
So we get there and, it's like so much smaller than I thought. Like I was expecting like football fields of stuff, but it was like a gym, like a high school gym full of stuff instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also like kind of extra weird. It was at the Los Angeles Convention Center, and there was like a So You Think You Can Dance, like some sort of like dancing fight competition going on too.
No way, dude. There's no way that, you know, people who are horror fans, self-professed horror fans, love to dance.
Yeah, it was like a really weird mix of people. And I was, like, torn, because as much as I like horror, I love watching people dance.
This is true. You do love those dance competition movies.
Yeah.
The one of the ways we connected was through Break-In 2, Electric Boogaloo. I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And you showed it to me.
That's true. I showed you that mime's big old dick.
Yeah, you did. You freeze framed it and everything. Jono made a small box with his hands around it.
Yeah.
But look at it. I was very confused.
He's wearing those tight yoga pants.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one scene where he's just got, I don't know, he's got this huge dong. Anyway. So it was pretty cool and confusing because these two types of people shouldn't mix, probably. And probably don't ever mix. It was pretty cool. We were like really like, overwhelmed at first. Cause like, even though it wasn't like the biggest place, like you could like look to your right and like there's, you know, like Sid Haig, you know, from, you know, the Rob Zombie movies and Spider Baby and stuff. And then you look to your right and there's Tracy Lords. And, my wife, she got like so scared and like surprised and shocked immediately upon stumbling upon Tracy Lords. And, that was cute. And Dick Miller was there. And so it was like this overwhelming thing where you're just looking around and seeing like all these cool people that you like grew up watching and stuff. And it was pretty fun. Have you, you've been to conventions before, right? You got me the Glory autograph at one.
Yeah, from Buffy Vampire Slayer. I didn't know who she was at the time. I had not watched Buffy at the time. But I went up and acted like a really great fan. And she was very gracious. And after watching the show, I was kicking myself for not trying to make moves on her that would have failed miserably, like with everybody else at the convention. But yeah, it was Mid-Ohio Con up in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Mid-Ohio Con? Okay. Yeah. And I did meet David Carradine there, and his pictures and autographs were expensive. This was like a year before Kill Bill 2 came out. He was still alive, obviously. So it was before he killed himself.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I also met one of the dudes from, I mean, I don't know. It was one of the dudes from X-Files, the lone gunman.
Was it?
Did you ever watch X-Files? You
no.
didn't watch X-Files. You talked about that last show.
Yeah, you didn't meet that sexy-ass Mulder?
No. No. Mulder was at home with her red hair.
Yeah.
That was, no, that was Scully.
Yeah.
Scully's is who you mean. And those are really it. I didn't get the shoulder-to-shoulder celebritas that you were encountered at this thing. But, yeah, I mean, that was also like a bigger event, too. And by bigger, I mean you're going to get some stuff that you don't really care about. Seeing like independently run comics and stuff like that. But you do get some cool celebrities there, you know, like people from X-Files and Carradine and whatnot. Creator from Bone.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, tell me more about who you saw there, because I only saw a few pictures. You saw like a Freddy cast reunion or something like that. Girls from Freddy.
Yeah, four of the Freddy girls were there. Heather Langenkamp, everybody went nuts for her. Apparently,
I'm sure.
They love her. She's in the most Freddy movies, and she's in, you know, maybe some of the most important ones, I guess. The first one and the sort of last one and the best one, part three. And also the girl from part two, who's like kind of unimportant. Nobody really remembers her because it's part two. And, Tuesday Knight, who played, the Patricia Arquette part, Kristen in part four. And, Alice from part four and five, who's my personal favorite Freddy girl. So that was exciting for me. I didn't meet her though, because by the time like those guys were signing stuff, it was like already kind of late in the day and we were, doing other stuff. And there were like big lines near the end of the day and stuff. But that was fun. It was, like, weird, though, because it's, like, I didn't know what the, you know, like, I didn't know what was, like, a faux pas or not. Like, I kind of had this plan to, like, go around and, like, get people to say into my phone, you know, like, this is Heather Langenkamp. You're listening to Junk Food Dinner. But I didn't know if it was, like, if you were, like, allowed to do stuff like that. Like, if it was, like, a faux pas to ask for stuff like that and ask for pictures if you weren't actually getting anything signed and, like, paying them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have asked Sean Myron. He's old hat at these conventions and stuff, so I don't know. I think that's not so much a faux pas, because I think I saw a lot of people doing stuff like that. But, you know, we were there for a while, and we didn't really know how to behave too much. You know,
so you're rambunctious and wild and crazy kids.
Yeah. I mean, I'm, like, pretty nervous around anybody. Like, I'll go to, you know, just whatever, and I'll be like, oh, I don't know how to behave, much less, like, around, like, all my favorite, like, Freddy girls and stuff. So it was a weird thing for me. But we did meet the Thanksgiving guys.
Yes, you told me about this.
This is exciting. You like the Thanksgiving movies, right?
I enjoy them, yeah. I enjoyed Thanksgiving 1 and was mostly coherent for Thanksgiving 3. I just remember sleeping a lot, but it was... excellent and bizarre from what I did see of it.
Yeah,
and
I like
Thanksgiving 3 is what would make me want to meet those guys.
Yeah, the third one is definitely the best one out of the two. And yeah, so I like that movie a lot. I put it on my top 10 list of last year. I think I might have even put it higher than Django Unchained, if that tells you anything. Or maybe Django was like one spot ahead.
Tells me that you're racist, but go on.
And so I met those guys. Sean Byron also met those guys, and they seemed like super cool because, like, you know, they were like surrounded. I think they were like on the one side of them was like the Freddy girls, I think, and on the other side was you know, like William Forsythe or whatever from like Boardwalk Empire and some Rob Zombie movies and probably a bunch of other stuff. And so they weren't getting like a, you know, a lot of ton of action because they just made this little movie that not a lot of people have seen. And so they seemed really like genuinely not only shocked that people liked their movie, but very appreciative and stuff. And they were like just totally insanely nice. They said that they, you know, I told them about the Junk Food Dinner podcast. They said they may have heard of it, which is nice of them to say.
If it's probably made you pee a little. That's good.
Yeah.
I would have peed a little.
Yeah, they said that they
got to the restroom, but yeah.
Indeed. They said that they listened to a lot of the podcasts that they're mentioned on, so. So that was cool. And they gave us some cool stuff. They gave us some DVDs. They gave us some posters, some signed posters, which we're going to be giving away on the Junk Food Dinner. Secretly. Wink. Keep it on the download for now. Mr. Frisbee, don't tell anybody.
All right. Yeah, Hero, you should keep this secret too.
Yeah, we're going to keep it secret. But we're doing a contest thing right now that whoever wins is going to get a signed Thanksgiving 3 poster. And so that was cool. They gave us like a whole stack of them. And I'm keeping one Thanksgiving 3 and one Thanksgiving 2 because I love them so much. But those guys were really cool. And they like seemed really genuinely shocked. Like they're like, so you know who these characters are? Like, because they had like all the puppets there. They had the turkey and Rhonda Worm and Yomi and stuff. And I was like, yeah, like, I love this movie. I've seen it like 8 times in 1 week, you know. I love this Rhonda Worm. He says his friend has worminal cancer. That's like the best joke I've ever heard in my life.
How their eyes light up when you said that.
They did. They were like, oh, we thought nobody would like that joke. Which is always, those are always the best jokes. The jokes that you think nobody's going to like.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty exciting. Like, those guys were super cool. And I think they might... Like, they said that they might come on Junk Food Dinner or something, or, like, they could get the cast to go on the show or something like that. So I'll probably take them up on that offer and just gush more, tell them about how much I like their puns and stuff. So that was cool. And then me and my wife met Mary Warrenoff, which was scary.
Yeah? How was it scary?
Well, she's very intimidating because she's played a lot of villains in her day.
And yeah, I guess I could see that. She's in Terrorvision, right?
Yeah, Terror Vision, Rock and Roll High School, Rock and Roll High School Forever, Death Race, Night of the Comet, a bunch of stuff. All the coolest stuff. Eating Raoul. And, you know, so I told her, you know, I'm very intimidated right now because I grew up watching the Rock and Roll High School movies, and you're like the meanest principal. And So this is wild for me right now. And then she made fun of the Death Race remake, and then she made fun of the Rock and Roll High School sequel, which she was in. And she said that, you know, it was like shocking to do a Rock and Roll High School 2 where instead of the Ramones, they had Corey Feldman's band. And then my heart had like this small civil war for a minute.
Yeah. Something you never would have considered, but one of your idols brings it up. Yeah. Having a paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, like Mary Warrenoff is so cool, but she's like talking trash about Corey Feldman. Like, I'm all, who do I side with right now? What's going on? How do I proceed? Do I slap right. Mary Warrenoff right in the face for making fun of Corey Feldman, the god? Or what do I do?
Where's your allegiance lie, Parker? Because, I mean, her point may be that Corey Feldman's band is not as good as the Ramones.
Yeah, well, that is a good point.
I think it's a true point.
Yeah, I don't.
Although I'm not familiar with Corey Feldman's band, I'm willing to take that chance.
Yeah, I don't think there's any arguing that point. Unless, you know, you're Corey Feldman, you might want to argue it, I guess.
No, he might step down too. Be like, oh, it was the 80s. It was really high.
Yeah, I was dressed up like Michael. He was dressed up like Michael Jackson at the time. He wasn't making good decisions.
Yeah.
So, Hiro Matsuda, you told me one time that you thought Corey Feldman's band was better than the Ramones, right?
I was just lying to myself.
I thought so. So I like you, Hiro Matsuda. So that was pretty exciting, and you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know, it was just fun. It was like so weird because, you know, like I wrote for I told this to listener of the show and listen to listener of Junk Food Dinner and Pool Party Radio, Sammy, who I met there at the thing, at the convention. Very nice man. Also attractive. Everybody I met, very attractive.
Nice.
He was a very...
That's what they say about Los Angeles, I guess. Except for the plastic surgery.
Yeah, well, he's from Portland.
Oh!
He came all the way down. Well. Yeah. He emailed us one day, and he was like, hey, I heard you might be going to this thing. Are you going to go? And I was like, I don't know. It's like kind of far away. And he's like, well, I'm coming down from Portland. And then I felt like a real dickbag.
I'm making a trip from the moon.
Yeah.
So you can make it from 3 hours away, right?
Yeah. I can basically see it from my house. And I was like, I don't know. I'm a little far from my tastes. But so that kind of got me in gear to actually go to the thing. And I'm glad that I did. But so he was very nice. And I was telling him, you know, I used to write for newspapers and stuff and magazines about bands. And every once in a while, I would get to meet these bands and interview these bands and stuff, bands I really liked. And it was always like sort of just a... like a hangout atmosphere, you know? Like, it'd always be like a kind of, you know, oh, hey, you did that story about us. We'll just have a seat. We're all just hanging out before the show or whatever. Not that that would happen all the time, but every once in a while. And so it was like, you know, just a hangout thing. But here, it's like these people, it was like sort of like a horror movie zoo, you know? It was like, it was like a much weirder thing, but it was like still very cool. And, one thing I did want out of the place was to buy all the DVDs, like all the out of print DVDs and like all the like new Blu-ray re-releases and stuff that I would ever want. And there wasn't any of that really. And that was a bummer.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
Except for the Thanksgiving guys. Sounds like they had plenty of copies left over.
Yeah, they had tons of copies. They said that they were trying to get rid of it all. They had too much.
Aw, well... Oh, did you bring up the Ohio connection with them? You're like, you guys are from Athens? I'm from Ohio?
Yeah, yeah. I told
like that.
Yeah, I said that Mark Fradio from Junk Food Dinner, formerly, rest in peace. God bless his undead soul. I was like, yeah, you know, we did the show, or we did your movie on the show originally because our boy Mark, he like has mutual friends with some of the people on, you know, in the movie or whatever it was, and he knew about it first. And so they seemed pretty cool into that. Which, you know, you gotta rep that Ohio.
Yeah, whenever you can use Ohio cred, you have to. I mean, it's like loose pennies. Like, there's no other way you're gonna use it.
Yeah, and then he asked where we were from, and I told him that Kevin was from Cincinnati, and he said that he had heard of it, and that we must be very proud of Pete Rose.
that's really funny.
He didn't really say that. It's a callback to an old Junk Food Dinner episode.
Oh, now I feel bad.
Oh, it's fine.
I didn't recognize that joke at all.
Well, I'll send you the link later. You get caught up with all these millions of in-jokes we have on that show.
Sounds good. If you can just give me, like, a Cliff Notes version, that'd be great.
I'll also let you know. We have that one. That's a good in-joke. And so much as you understand that one, and also Sliced Thumb, then I think you'll be caught up to speed. Those are the two main in-jokes we got right now. What was I going to say? But yeah, I wanted to get all these DVDs and Blu-rays, and they didn't really have any. But one guy had a booth full of, like, bootleg DVDs. But it was all, like, unaired pilots of shows and, like, TV shows that are, like, not on DVD and stuff. Like, he had, like, the unaired Wonder Woman pilot and, like, some old Saturday morning cartoons that are, like, not on DVD and stuff. And I just wanted to grab this guy and shake him and say... don't you know about YouTube?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you picked up Julian Sands pilot from Manimal, but I kind of figured you probably already saw that on YouTube anyway.
Yeah, well, I have not seen it, but that guy actually had that, I think.
I watched that entire thing. Before I even heard about your love affair, your obsession with Julian Sands, I watched that just thinking, well, I have nothing else to do.
Yeah, well, that's usually how you should probably watch a Julian Sands movie, I guess.
That was a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a weird pilot syndication thing that was going on.
Yeah.
Guess it didn't get picked up for whatever reason. But they picked up What was the other one? The superhero. Nightman? Nightman. The guy who plays saxophone.
I don't know.
I forget the name of it, but yeah. He played saxophone during the intro. It's really bad.
You thinking about that a spinoff from The Lost Boys? That guy got his own show?
That's pretty much. Pretty much.
That's cool.
Yeah, the guy playing on the beach.
Yeah.
With his abs, playing totally with his core. It was like that.
Yeah, he's so oily.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. Speaking of which, that same beach where that guy played in Santa Cruz, one of my favorite bands, Cracker, is playing there in a couple of months. I might have to go up for that, and hopefully I don't get eaten by vampires.
Yeah, but that'd be the worst.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. But, like, I could see to where this guy had all these bootlegs of these shows, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Like, that would probably be really cool. Like, he had, like, the Fantastic Four, Roger Corman movie and stuff. Like, that's probably, like, the heart and soul of, like, conventions a few years ago. But now it's like, you know, we're all on Cinemageddon. We don't need you, buddy. Like, what are you doing? I don't know.
By the way, I might need another invite to Cinemageddon. I accidentally botched my first attempt by using my full name. It seemed like a really dumb move. And then when I read the user agreement, they're like, can't change your name. Once you make your name, you're stuck with it. It's like, oh, this is a bummer.
Yeah. This time, don't make your username Jason Frisbee and then your social security number. That's always a bad move.
I learned my mistake the first couple times. So,
that's
yeah.
Right. I think my
name... That sounds awesome, man.
Yeah, it was super fun. I just wish I would have been able to get that TerraVision Blu-ray that I had my eyes on in the Ricky O. But, yeah, other than that, it was cool. I got a few cool things. I got all those posters and stuff, and I think about some other stuff. I think about, like, some patches or something, like some Freddy and Jason patches or something. But didn't spend nearly as much money as I thought I was going to, because I thought I was going to buy every Blu-ray I ever wanted.
That's actually kind of a good thing, then. Because, I mean, like you said, you have access elsewhere, and, you know, you came out ahead.
Yeah.
You came out less behind, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase this.
Yeah, I guess I could just get on Amazon and buy all those things that I want to buy. But then, Sean Byron ran into some friend of his who said that he was leaving the event because he got word, some magical Metatron-esque word from the heavens, I guess, that Sam Raimi was filming his new TV show downtown. So we left immediately, and we went downtown to watch Sam Raimi film a TV show with Greg Kinnear for a while. And so that was kind of weird and cool.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I found that I want my dream job now is to be one of these guys that walks around in the background, like an extra. Like they were doing this scene where like they were on like these court steps, like it was like City Hall or whatever, and they're like powerful lawyers. And, like, all these people in business suits, like, at certain intervals would just walk by, you know, through the frame. And that seems like the coolest job in the world, I think.
You'd be down for walking, you know, in the rear of the frame like that?
I think that would be really fun.
Huh.
And it was, like, really cool and, like, Truman Show-esque because we didn't know who was, like, a real extra and, like, who was, like, just one of, like, the gathering crowd of people just watching, you know? So that was kind of fun. But then Sam Raimi came down and signed a bunch of autographs for everybody. So that was cool. He seems like a nice fella.
Did you get a chance to get an autograph?
No, I had nothing to be signed at the time. I didn't bring anything with me, like a dope.
You got arms, dude. You also have a neck and a face. You can sign any of those things.
Sign these testicles, Sam Raimi. But
can you also write groovy on them?
But it was still cool enough just to watch him like work and, you know. Yeah, around as he was signing other people's stuff. So, like, I really kicked myself because I didn't bring anything. Like, I realized I should have brought, like, my Rock and Roll High School VHS tape to get signed by Mary Warnoff and, you know, whatever else I had laying around, my Freddy posters and everything.
So, your Freddy bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Your Freddy patches that you already have.
Yeah.
Your Freddy glassware. Your Freddy shot glass and pint glass.
I do
your
have.
Your Freddy watch. Your Freddy alarm clock.
Yeah, I have all that stuff. I could have gotten it all signed.
Stale box of Freddy-O's.
Yeah. Kane Hodder was there who played Jason. I could have read my Jason stuff. And so I just really fucked up. I was unprepared. But next year is going to be different. I'm going to take all my stuff in a huge bag and get Kane Hodder to sign everything.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I did get Mary Warnoff to sign a glossy still of her from the movie Warlock starring Julian Sands, though. So when I eventually... break into Julian Sands' house and get his autograph. I can have them both on the same picture, and that'll be exciting.
Boxing Julian. Mm-hmm. It'll be the movie that you make.
Yeah. He'll wake up. Why are my arms and legs gone? And then I'll tell him that I just want him to love me, you know?
That sounds like somebody that we just met today.
You're the only person that can help me.
That's what I would tell him.
Yeah.
I don't know where to find happiness.
Oh. So, Parker, I mean, you mentioned this walk-on in the background thing that you want to do. And I want to touch upon this because I don't know if listeners know this. They probably do. They've seen a lot of your Photoshop shenanigans where you paste your head onto, oh, let's say every person in a friend's bachelorette party.
Yeah.
You'll put your head on every member that's attending that party. Mm-hmm. Be like, yeah, I was there. See, there I am. And there I am again. And you have a unique look is what I'm getting at. Like you have these sharp looking frames. Most of the time that I've known you, you've had sharp looking frames. And now you have a beard and mustache and long hair. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's still the case, right?
That is the case. But I'm getting real sick of this hair. All this washing and brushing.
It's gross. It's old hat, man. It's not like you're going to be raiding any villages in the northern seas.
Mm-hmm. If Triple H can cut his hair, then maybe it's time for me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good barometer for life decisions, Triple H.
Well, yeah. And also, I've been attacking people with sledgehammers. So that's been pretty good. But yeah, I think that I could probably do pretty good as like an extra in like Sons of Anarchy and stuff like that. Like, I think that's probably where my bread and butter will be.
Right. I was wondering what shows you could probably walk on to, because Sam Raimi's Powerful Lawyers show, I'm not so much.
Yeah.
Maybe unless like you were walking next to a guy in a suit who was giving you advice or something.
Yeah. Or if I was like some sort of criminal, like talking to his lawyer in the background, I think that could work.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly like Sons of Anarchy. I would be like one of the guys who like, you know, like never really gets characterization, who's like just in the gang in the background. And then like six episodes in, I get shot. Like, I think that would be ideal.
Yeah. I don't want you to see you get shot, but I think you'd have a really funny death scene. I think it'd be good.
Yeah. I'll try to ham it up.
Yeah.
And, like, say some cool lines and as I'm dying. Like, I don't know. Like, what could I say? Like, what's a cool thing that you can say when you're being shot to death? What do you think, Hiro Matsuda?
So, this is death?
Yeah,
if you just say it just like that, everybody will remember you.
That's
true. Forever and ever. I was going to say, oh no, Prometheus, but I think we wore that one out.
That's true. But yeah, well, that's what I'm going to say when I die in real life.
Good for you. I need to get on my last words. I don't know what they'll be.
Yeah. I thought of something genius to put on my tombstone the other day.
Pepperoni and onions?
Ah, that's a terrible joke.
Yeah, it is. But what'd you think of?
I forget now. Oh, it was so funny. I woke my wife up and I told her to remember it because it's what I wanted when I died. Now I forget. Well, son of a bitch. I'll text her later and I'll find out. When I find out, if she remembers it, that'll be the name of this episode.
Okay. Sounds good.
So that'll be an easy way to put that in without having to re-edit the episode. But how about you? Did you do any cool, fun stuff over the week?
Yeah, I went to a party, which I had not done for a while, and I think I did okay. I was mostly socially awkward, because I haven't been to a party for a while, and it just took a lot of me, like, trying to get to meet people and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, it evolved into, like, some party games, which I did not take part in.
Whoa, that's weird. How old were these people?
Mid-20s.
Wow, I would expect party games from, like, 17-year-olds, but party games from mid-20-year-olds, like, that's, I don't know, like, that's wild.
Well, it was a weird gender shift sort of thing, because all the girls wanted to play these games, like, these party games, like,
Like make-out games?
No, like, kind of word games.
Oh.
Like, things. There's a thing called things, where you write down, word association, basically. It's like, what would you do in this situation? And you have to write down what you would do. So all the girls were inside and wanting to do that. And then all the guys stood outside and burned stuff in the fire pit. So I was out there.
Yeah, that's understandable. I've never been to a party where they played games and stuff like that. I thought you meant like quarters and like kissing games and stuff. But yeah, like, I don't know. If you go to a party and people are playing Pictionary, like, maybe that's not the coolest party.
Well, again, like, this is something that all the girls wanted to do. So it was,
girls, they're the worst.
Yeah, I know. And we're all burning. We were all burning pizza boxes in the backyard.
Yeah,
so burning stuff. I'm not really sure, like, who got the better end of that stick. But, it was fun.
Burning stuff is always fun.
Yeah, it is. Little Caesar's
I
pizza
don't mind that.
Burns.
Ooh, yeah, it's fun to burn.
This guy's knocking him out of the park. I do not want to cross him, though. Are we on good terms, Hero? I don't want to offend you.
Eventually, I'll be betrayed.
God. Anyway, yeah, I had to work on Saturday. Transitioning right along. I worked that morning, Saturday morning, the morning before the party. So I was kind of worn out. Maybe that was when I was like iffy or whatever, but I saw Evil Dead straight away afterwards. I had some of the best pizza in my life at this place called Vino's.
Hey, nice.
It was good, man. And yeah, on Friday, I tried watching The Hobbit, but I kept falling asleep.
Yeah, man, that movie stinks.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I don't know. It's like Peter Jackson, like, doesn't care. You know, like, he was Guillermo del Toro was supposed to direct it first, and he dropped out, and then I think they got some other guy, and then he dropped out. So I think Peter Jackson was just sort of, like, he had to direct it by default, because, like, nobody else wanted to or something.
You know, after you remind me of, like, who was on board to direct it before, Guillermo del Toro, I think I would have actually preferred that. Like, having seen Pan's Labyrinth and
yeah,
the Hellboy films, and what else did he do? The Orphanage?
Yeah.
Like, that one's kind of creepy. Creepy little people. I think he would have done a good job with it.
Yeah, I think he would have been good. I like that guy. But yeah, I think Peter Jackson, like, just went into it like, well, I've already done three of these goddamn things, so let's just get through this. Like, it seemed like they, you know, CG'd, like, a lot of the stuff in The Hobbit that in The Lord of the Rings would have been practical, and just stuff like that. And one of the biggest things is that, you know, in these books, to get nerdy for a moment, hobbits are, like, 2 feet shorter than dwarves. And in the original Lord of the Rings, that is evident by the fact that all the hobbits are much shorter than Gimli. And in this, Bilbo is just as tall as all the dwarves. So I think that, you know, that's the most glaring thing. That's just Peter Jackson saying, you know, fuck it. I don't want to have to go through all the trouble of doing all these, you know, special effects shots to make Bilbo look half the height of the dwarves. So just fuck it. No one's going to care. And that's just kind of what that Hobbit movie seemed like. It's just, all right, we'll make a Hobbit movie, but fuck it. We're going to cut all the corners and whatever. Let's just get it done.
No, I mean, I was kind of in and out of it. I've never read any of these books, as I know I mentioned before. So, yeah, trolls were trying to eat some people. And then there's something to do with about a dragon. I don't know. It was all that stuff in there. But the CGI thing, for sure, we were watching it on this, it's like an HD version on this HD television. Mm-hmm. So all of the sweeping city shots look like video game sequences. And when I brought this up, we could not unsee it, which kind of dampened everything.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the second one will be better when Cumberbatch shows up. I love that Cumberbatch.
Hey, who doesn't, right?
Man, I know. Nerds. They're the ones who don't. So yeah, well, all right. Well, did you do anything else cool?
No, I didn't.
Well, then let's move on to a thing that we like to call. In fact, I don't even know what we call this segment anymore because we haven't done it in a while. But suffice it to say that we got some emails, and the segment used to be called Put Your Fingers in the Air So Frisbee Can See Where You're At.
Our first email is Cool Pool Party from Olympic Artichoke, their podcast.
Yeah, Olympic Artichoke Radio. I just listened to them the other day after reading this email.
Survey says, that's what I'm going to ask when I want your opinion on something. Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They talked about Freddy Part 4, and I'm biased towards that. That's not their newest one, but that's the one I listen to, and I'm always biased towards Freddy stuff, so I thought it was very enjoyable.
Excellent. Well, check out Olympic Artichoke Radio then. And they say, hey, Pool Party Radioers, I just wanted to write in and say how excited I was when Parker announced that the show was going to be bi-weekly, because bi-weekly can mean twice a week, or once every 2 weeks. And for whatever reason, I thought you guys meant the former. And then I was super bummed when you established that you were going to do it once every 2 weeks. I guess I can live with that. So, keep up the great work, guys. The show's hilarious. And now this... And know this, you're the number one podcast amongst guys who are me. Jordan, of Olympic Artichoke Radio. Thanks so much for writing, Jordan. And sorry you got bummed. Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, I think somebody brought up that same point on the Facebook, that they were excited for a second that we were going to be two times a week and not once every 2 weeks. So we really screwed everyone over.
Just going to leave it at that, then.
Yeah.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel.
Hey, Hiro Matsuda, how did you feel when we announced that we were going to do every other week?
Don't abandon me!
That's really extreme. But point well taken. And I think we'll try to rectify that, because as you could tell from our loving admiration of each other at the top of the show, we missed each other. This is the only way that we communicate with each other, so...
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Twitter and other shit.
Yeah, but not Facebook, since you never checked that.
Nope. Done with Facebook. Shit's played out.
Yeah, so yeah, we're going to keep doing this for one more week, so no show next week. But then after that, we're going to go back to being weekly. So pretend that I've got We Are the Champions queued up there, which I don't. Wait for it. Yeah, nice.
You see, everybody, sometimes podcast hosts just need some time apart for a week or two. A podcast vacation, if you catch my meaning.
We had to go and, just play the field for a week or two. Like the Amish do.
Yeah, just like the Amish. Play the field. Some of us had to go meet Mary Warnoff. Some of us had to fall asleep while watching The Hobbit.
And it made just us... Made us
living life, you know?
Yeah, so we'll be back 2 weeks. Weekly again. There was a strong, I don't want to call it a tidal wave of response about this, but, it was hard to do it every other week when we were getting Facebook messages and stuff like this of people crying and threatening suicide about it, so.
Yeah, a bunch of regular Hiro Matsudas giving us the business online.
But, please don't kill me!
Trying not to. I figured really being passive-aggressive about this stuff, though.
So what is this next email?
Our next email is called Links, Not the Sausages. It's from a listener, Paul C. And he says, oh, hello. So I was downloading past shows just now and discovered Links are not working for a couple of the episodes, 18 and 40. Considering you have over 100 episodes, these malfunctioning Links wouldn't phase a normal person. But I have a crippling need to always collect everything I like. Don't I know it, Paul? I think Parker and I suffer from that same affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm having terror sweats and loose bowels as I contemplate a world where I'm only ever able to listen to 99% of Pool Party Radio. Can you help? My road trip this weekend will be very happy if you can. Paul from Omaha. Hey, we know people in Omaha, don't we?
Yeah, we know lots of them now. We know Paul. We know Seth Kuzer. We know Badland Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I think Melissa from Hide the Bodies is moving there.
Just the best people. And
the cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop.
Yeah, this is a situation that was rectified for those two episodes. For whatever reason, the website we used to host this show and the Junk Food Dinner Show, they change around the URLs on these things every once in a while. Or at least they did one time and we haven't fixed them all. So every once in a while, this pops up. So if you ever find an episode that isn't there, you can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com or jftpodcast@gmail.com, and we will fix them. Or I guess maybe if I get bored tonight, I'll just go through every single one and make sure they all work. But it seems like a really bad way to do things on that website is to just change the URLs for the episodes every once in a while.
Yeah, it's not the most consistent thing, but
yeah,
it's their website. They'll do what they want.
That's true. Well, all right. With that being rectified, let's try real quick to do a lightning round story because the alarm's going to go off soon.
And now it's time
for the lightning round.
Well, first up in the lightning round, goths and punks can now be hate crime victims in Manchester, UK. A British police force will now treat violence and abuse against punks and goths as hate crimes.
This
is pretty accurate.
Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I think this is so weird. Like, I mean, you know, like, I think there's going to be like a lot of legislation, like, and like a lot of lawyers arguing about if somebody was a poser or not, you know?
Yeah, or whether they're like post-punk and whether you can hate on post-punk if it's just punk and goth.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what if you're like Bauhaus goth and not like the Crow goth?
Yeah, or like what if like you're really into Iggy and the Stooges and like some people think that's punk, but some people think it's like just a forefather to punk. Like it's going to be, you know, and like what if like somebody beats to death like a kid who really likes Blink-182? Like is that punk or like, you know, are they posers? Like it seems like there's going to be a lot of gray area.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of either hip cops or really confused cops.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the latter. Like with other hate crimes, like if you like kill a guy who's like Jewish just because he's Jewish, like that's pretty easy to prove. He's either Jewish or he isn't. But with these, you know, maybe you just weren't all black. Maybe you just got out of a funeral, so you're wearing all black. Who's going to say if you're a goth or not?
Yeah, they're trying to take a statement from you and like, so you really enjoy Talking Heads. That's neither of these. Yeah, they played at CBGB's, but who cares? Maybe you're just a jerk.
Yeah. And like maybe like they really like the Clash, but like maybe they only like the later stuff, like the Combat Rock album. Then that doesn't count. So
yeah, or that like what was that? Sandinista.
Yeah, that stuff.
Sandinista, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's not punk. So yeah, I think this is going to be really confusing and really, really bizarre. And like I think that punks get themselves in a lot of spots in life where, like, it would be easy to murder them. So now, like, you know, you could just be like, oh, you know, I killed this punk rocker because he's, like, the biggest dick face in the world. But now you can't do that because it's going to be a hate crime.
You can't kill someone because yeah. Now it's a hate crime?
Well, yeah. Like, I would gladly kill, like, an annoying, like, vegan punk rocker, like, you know, for being annoying. Like, if I knew I was just going to get, like, the normal amount of jail. But now if I'm going to get hate crime jail, it's barely even worth it. Like, that's so much more jail.
You're still missing out on a substantial portion of your life in jail. Like, I don't think it matters if it's hate crime or not. Like, if you're killing someone. I mean, if you do graffiti, like, punks go home, or I hate punks, or whatever, I don't know. Or, yeah.
Well, I do wish those punks would go home. But, you know, it's like what if I'm, like, hanging out, and I'm like, oh, you know, I really like the Misfits album, you know, American Psycho, and somebody's like, oh, well, that's Graves Misfits. You know, you're a piece of shit. Like, I would gladly kill that person because I hate that fucking stupid attitude that just because a band is, like, with a new singer, like, that whoever listens to that sucks. Oh, it makes me so heated. It makes me so heated.
Until they represent ska fans, I don't feel like there's justice being done. So, moving right along. I don't want to get beat up for liking Madness. I don't really like Madness anymore.
Yeah, I think of... well, of all these subcultures, I think that ska probably needs the most protection because I think the punks and maybe even goths can kind of protect themselves. But I think the ska kids, they're going to need some police protection.
And what about the mopey shoegazers? Like, Manchester is Morrissey town, right?
I believe so.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they just have all the clout anyway. Like, no one messes around with you when you're on a Vespa around town.
Yeah, when you're wearing a Morrissey shirt, you're untouchable.
Yeah, the Morrisseys. Next up, MTV cancels Buck Wild following star Shane Gandy's death. I know nothing about this show or this gentleman, but a source tells this news network. I don't know how to phrase that. That's bad. which is in the middle of shooting season 2, will not move forward with their hit reality series because of Shane Gandy's death.
Yeah.
I don't know how he died. What is this, Buck Wild?
It's that new show. It's like Jersey Shore, but for like Okies who live in like Virginia. It's really... I haven't watched it. I was going to TV hostage you with it one day, but the kids seem to like it. It's just about these kids who go buck wild. They're having fun. He died because he was out mudding And then he just died from that somehow.
Ruled the death was caused by carbon monoxide. So he was like four-wheeling in the trees and everything.
Yeah. Oh.
Uh-oh.
That's it. The show's over.
Show's done.
That's it. That's all we can do. That's our new alarm. It tells us when the show is over. So at the 50-minute mark or so, that's it. That's it for the show. Sad I had some more things to say about Buck Wild, but what are you going to do?
You can't. You can't do it anymore.
The show is over. So yeah, you can go to poolpartyradio@gmail.com, or email us there, rather.
Yeah, just like Paul from Olympic Artichoke Radio. Thanks again for writing in, Paul.
Paul and Jordan. Although, if we can mash the two guys together, that would be kind of cool. Splice
their
genes.
Yeah, I messed that up. I meant Jordan from Olympic Artichoke Radio and Paul C. from Omaha.
No worries.
Yeah, no. Many worries. I'm freaked out by that alarm still.
I know.
How about, I'm worried about Hiro. Is he okay?
I just felt pain.
Yeah, I guess maybe I can relate to that. Anyway, yeah, you can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Give us some likes. And also check out the Pod Awful Network.
Yeah, check out the Pod Awful Network, podawful.net. And we have a group on Facebook. Just search for a Pod Awful channel, and it'll take you right there. The icon is a skull, because Jesse P.S. wants to be a skull person. So that's how you can remember. We're going to be doing a new thing with the pool party, with the pool party channel, with the Pod Awful channel, where like Jesse from Pod Awful, the founder, the daddy, the Mr. Daddy of the operation, he used to have a bonus section for his show where he'd post, you know, some exclusive content, and people could pay a very small fee to download it and listen to it, or watch it, or whatever he's doing. And that's going to be opened up to the entire network soon, if not right now. So we're going to be throwing some stuff in there. The other shows are going to be throwing some stuff in there. And it's all for the smallest amount of money in the world. And you get to get some bonus stuff from all four or five shows, six shows that are on the network. So that'll be fun. I think we're going to have a button on our website, poolpartyradio.com, where you can click that. And if you sign up for that small fee to get all that cool bonus stuff, then Jesse will give us some money, American currency.
Real dollar bills?
He's going to give us some real American dollars.
Ah, boy.
But he'll probably actually just send us like six packs of Dr. Pepper.
The guy loves his Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, well, Dr. Pepper's good. I'll podcast for Dr. Pepper.
I'm more of a Mr. Pibb man myself.
Yeah, me too.
Less pretentious, you know?
Yeah, he's just a guy, just like you and me. He didn't go through all that flavor school.
And I think that's about it.
Yeah. Check out Junk Food Dinner. We got that contest going now that you can find more about probably on the website or by listening to the new episode where you can win stuff.
And things?
And things. Stuff and things. Rick Grimes from Walking Dead's favorite stuff to win. Stuff and things. And also follow us on Twitter at Final Parker and at Jason Frisbee. And listen to our friends, Logical Contraption and Kissing Contest and Rotten Rantings and whoever else we're forgetting. Acid Pop Cult.
Badland Girls.
Badland Girls, especially. And Olympic Artichoke. Because Jordan's very nice. He left us a comment on the iTunes. Ice Tunes. Ice Cream Tunes is where he left it.
Delicious.
This is Parker for Hiro Matsuda and Jason Raise Babes Frizz Babes saying thanks for having fun. It's 9 o'clock, 10 or 12 when it's time to rock. 12 to the baby, I ain't gonna mess around.
cobra. Gonna reach out and grab ya. Chupacabra, yeah, chupacabra.
Nobody wants me, so they can all just die.